name. Amen. Ooh, all right. Now I got to slow down for a second. Give me some water. Now, if you haven't been around when I teach, y'all know I'm not stable, so let's not act like I'm all together. I'm not. So we're going to laugh a little. We're going to talk a little. We might cry a little and a few things. So let me drink some water because my mouth dry. Now, these pants kind of loose, y'all. If they start sliding down a little bit too much, somebody give me some type of signal. So I don't be standing up here in my pants to my knees and I ain't paying no attention, all right? So somebody give me a little signal, say, I mean, nod or something. So if y'all just see me keep pulling on them, it's because I'm trying not to moon y'all during service, because then my whole message will be lost and nobody will remember anything I said except for, she had on black. That'll be the only thing you remember. So there we go. Everybody's awakening with me now. All right. Good morning. Today's lesson will come from Judges, the 4th chapter. And I need Kelly to get a mic. Now, you know, some people have people read for them out of their prestigious and they want somebody to read. That is not my thing. In order for you to understand what the scriptures talk about, I have to have somebody else read it. Because I'll jump over words and mess up words. That's just anxiety. That's all. So I have somebody read. So it's not because I'm prestigious. Because I can't read when I'm up here in front of y'all. Okay? So don't think, oh, she got to have a reader. No, I'm afraid dyslexia or something to jump in here. And y'all be like, what was that scripture that she said? I ain't never heard that word in the Bible. So we're not going to do that. I'm going to save y'all all of that. And I'm going to have Kelly read for me. It's chapter 4, and we're doing the whole chapter, okay? So everybody, pay attention. If you got your phone or just a regular Bible, I know we don't see them no more. A regular Bible. Okay, the good paper one, where you can highlight and all those things. All right, Kelly, read for me.
And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after he had died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Hargesheth-Hargaman. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, was judging Israel at the time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the leader of Abinadab, and Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 of them from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon, and his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. Barak said to her, if you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead you to glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up at his heels, and Deborah went up with him. Now Haber the Kenite had separated from the Kenites, the descendants of Hoab, and the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far away in the Oak Zinion, which is far from Kadesh. When Sisera was told that Barak the son of Abiam had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera called out all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the men who were with him from Harosheth Hagaman to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Does not the Lord go out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him, and the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all of his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Hagaman, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. But Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Haber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazar and the house of Haber to the Kenite. And Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord. Turn aside to me. Do not be afraid. So he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. And he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a skin of milk and gave him milk and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the opening of the tent. And if any man comes and asks you, is anyone here? Say no. But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. And she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground while he was lying fast asleep from weariness. So he died. And behold, as Barak was pursuing Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you where the man whom you are seeking. So he went into her tent, and there lies Sisera dead with the tent peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. And the hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan.
Amen. I know. Y'all like, that was a lot of scriptures. But that's probably, for some of y'all, might be the only scriptures you read this week. So be okay with getting all this in one day. It's all right. It's okay. So as I began to listen to the Lord, and I want to give honor to my husband who is doing daddy-daughter time in California with Victory. He's spending some time with the grown baby girl. And so I give honor to him who is the pastor of this house, my husband of 23 years, my pastor of 13 years, my lover for 23 years. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I'll stop. I'll walk over here and be nice. Hi, how you doing? We crazy. And so as I began to listen to the Lord about you all, because the word comes for all of us, you all, he started out, so y'all gonna have to ride with me because he talked to me like he had some type of disorder. And so I had to just keep writing down all the things that he was saying because I was just like, okay, now what does that mean? And what does, so y'all just ride with me, okay? We riding? Everybody in? 10 toes down, seatbelt on? Y'all in? All right, let's go. So he began, the first thing he kept saying was trauma. And I was just like, You know, I'm a therapist by trade, so trauma to me sparks all kinds of like, wait a minute. You know, you hear all kinds of things now. You know, the gospel according to TikTok, you just never know what you're going to get. And so the gospel according to TikTok, you know, trauma bonds and all the, anybody know what a trauma bond is? It's like when you bond with somebody because there's trauma going on, and so you either come in as the rescuer or you come in because you got trauma too, and next thing you know, y'all linked up together in a relationship like it's healthy. And don't let one person get healthy and the other one is still traumatic, then a relationship don't work no more. Oh, that's just for free. That, it don't work no more because y'all are no longer equal. You're no longer in that traumatic space that you was in once before. Now you're trying to get healthy and they're like, where you going? Why are you leaving? We've been in this together. You know all my trauma and all my things. Where you going to? And it's just like, well, I don't want to stay in a traumatic space anymore. So I want to get out and be whole. So that was the first thing he said. And then he began to talk a lot more about this particular passage. So in this passage, we see Deborah, who is a prophetess. She is the one that is judging Israel at this time. And the children of Israel, which is us, just in case you wanted to know what your part was in this story, it's us. We the ones that keep messing up. Okay? I know y'all want to be Deborah. You don't want to be the one that's constantly messing up. You want to be the one who is the heroine that is, you know, saving everybody. No, no, no. Let's go ahead and make sure everybody get their role. You, the children of Israel. And it starts out saying, you messed up again. It starts out saying, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord again. I'm like, every time I read the Bible, I'm like, I don't know why you ain't killed us. I just don't know why. Because if you read it like you are the one that's doing everything right, then you won't ever identify with the fact that we did evil again. If you look at Judges, that's all they did. They do right, then they do evil. But the thing that was so interesting to me is no matter how much evil they did, if they cried out, every time they cried out, he would go and rescue them again. So don't let nobody ever tell you to stop crying. Don't let anybody tell you that you've done so much, if you've gone too far, to stop all that crying. No, no, no. Every time they cried out, it says he delivered them again. See, the church will make you feel like you're not supposed to do that, that you're supposed to have it all together, and there should come a time when you don't mess up no more. That's what they try to tell you. Let me go ahead and set you free. You're going to mess up again. But every time you mess up, if you cry out, if you just say, it's me. I messed up. I forgot you again. I went my own way again. I had my own plans again. I did all of this again. Oh, it's me. Every time they cried out, he sent the deliverer. This was no different. Now, when they messed up, though, did you see that it said they were in bondage for 20 years? Good God, from Zion. That's a long time to be in bondage. I figure that if you just, you ain't got to do that long, Lord. I mean, I know I messed up. I can tell. And 20 years. 20. They were in captivity for 20 years. But when the Lord said, okay, I hear you, and now it's time, based on that, there is a certain cry that must have been that they let out, that he was just like, all right, it's time. They've learned their lesson. It's time. So here he comes, Deborah and Barak, and he was like, it's time. It's time to go down. And the other thing that is so interesting to me is the Lord will allow these people to put the children of Israel in bondage, and then he'll kill them for doing it. Have you ever noticed that? Like Pharaoh, he knew that they were in, he let them do it. Pharaoh went ahead, and I mean, was a hard taskmaster. And at the end of it, he died. So Caesarea ain't no different, because 20 years he had them. And I was just like, why would anybody fool with us? He let you enslave me, but you know at the end of this, you're going to die. He let you put me in bondage, but at the end of this, I want you to know, you're going to die. And so it said that he had them in bondage, and he was a strong oppressor for 20 years. And then when the God said, it's time, next thing you know, they were afraid of him because he had these chariots, and they were on foot. So they were always afraid to go up against him because they were like, no, he got these chariots, we're on foot. But the thing that he had used to intimidate them, he had to jump down and run out of. So here he is, he on foot, he running, in JL, that's my girl. You need a JL in your life. Now let's talk about her. Evidently, she was skillful with a hammer and a tent peg. Sis girl was skilled, because she was just like, but not only was she skilled, she was very calming. Because he running for his life, and she just stepped out the tent and said, hey, where you going? And he was just like, she said, come on in the room, come on in here. And next thing you know, he comes in and he feels like he's safe. Come on in. He said, I'm thirsty, can you get me a little water? She said, oh no, I can do better than water. Let me get you a little milk. And so she got him a little milk, and he's all in. He done told her, he said, now if somebody, you're going to stand at the tent door, if somebody come running past because they after me, if somebody come running past, tell them ain't no man in here. She said, She let him lay down, and it says she took her mantle, and she covered him with her mantle. And he done fell asleep. I mean, bro was comfy. They chasing him, and he like, she going to protect me. Let me go ahead and go to sleep. He done fell off asleep. To the point the sister rolled up on him with her tent peg and her hammer. And she didn't just tap him. She didn't just go ting, ting. She's like, no, I got one good shot. Eminem says, I'm sorry. sorry, let me come back. Oh, y'all awake. He says, you only got one shot. She said, I got one shot to do this. And she took that hammer, and she hit it so hard that it said it fastened his head to the ground. Which lets me know, one, that she wasn't a weak woman. She was a brave one. She came with power. Here's the thing. If you pay attention to the scriptures, it says that he felt safe because there was nothing between her family and him. Their family had a peace treaty, in a sense. So he felt safe because she wasn't in that battle. That battle didn't have nothing to do with her. So So he felt like, I can go inside her tent because I haven't done anything to her or her people. So he came on in and laid there, and she fastened his head to the ground. And then she went out and said, the person y'all looking for, I'm just giving you a paraphrase, and then we're going to jump in here, and I won't be before you long. I'll only be before you as long as the Lord want me to be. And when he stopped talking, so do I. But then she go to the tent, or go out and say, hey, the person y'all looking for, he right here. They look in, and Joker is, he's stuck to the ground. He ain't moving. They say he dead. Cody dead. I mean, he dead. And not only is he dead, they went ahead and finished off King Jabin and his whole company. They killed everybody that was a part of it. So let's go to where y'all can, where I can give you all what the Lord said. So you have several titles you can choose from. I'm not really a title person. I figure you all make the title whatever you want it to be, however it speaks to you. It can be It's Time, a frenemy, you know, friend, enemy, or it can be Trauma Bonds. Choose. I really don't care. I just got to get the message out. So here's the thing, that our main focus is going to be on Jael and her conflict. You know, the Lord was saying there are times that we have been in bondage. Will anybody confess the fact that there have been something that you've been praying to the Lord about for a long time? Something you have been wanting the Lord to get rid of for a long time. And it don't seem like it has moved. It seemed like it is still there. I think about the children of Israel. Theirs was 20 years that they had been praying about the same thing over and over and over again. Can you imagine praying about a thing for 20 years? How many of y'all can say, well, it's been about 20 years, if not longer, that I've been praying for a few things? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what if I told you today it's time? Oh, no, it must not have been real tight for that 20 years, because y'all gave him a thank you, Lord. Now, if he said today was the day that I answered that and brought you out of that place, tell me again, what would you say? Hallelujah. Oh, okay. I just was wondering. They, Harrison, they must not be in real struggles. Because if I was to go on a cancer ward and tell them today's the day for their cure, I wonder how they would respond. If I went into the prison cell for somebody that was either wrongly accused or actually accused, and I say today is the day for your liberation, I wonder how they would respond. But us free people, us people that don't have those particular issues, our thank you, God. Okay. But for those that are believers, that really need this thing to be gone today. Today, like not tomorrow, not next week. There's some things that I've been praying about for a while that if you tell me today's the day that it comes to an end, I think my response is a little bit different, because y'all feel like Pastor Daisy is saying it. You don't feel like heaven, the eternal God, is saying today's the day. I heard your cry all this time, but today is the day. Oh. Oh. But today is the day. I know it's been 20 years and you've cried a few times and you walked the floor and you kept wondering, is it really going to happen for me? I don't know. I done watched everybody else get their breakthrough and I done watched everybody else get their deliverance, but is it ever really going to happen for me? And the Lord comes by today to say, oh, today's the day. Today you go up. Oh, okay. Oh. Hey, when you forget about those people that are around you and say, Lord, I've been praying for this for a long time, and I don't know about anybody else, but I'm tired of praying about this same thing over and over and over again. I really want to come out of this. I don't want to stay in this a day longer. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of me. I'm sick of all the things. Oh, God, can today be my day? Okay, excuse me. It was good news to me. All week, I've been praying for my sheep. Ooh, and I've been asking God. I said, God, I need you to deliver the people that you gave me. I need you to bring them out. I need today to be their day. They've been praying for a long time. They keep showing up to church. They keep doing the best they can. Oh, God. So all week I've been praying. I'm like, I see him. I see him walking the door. I see him keeping the faith. I see him saying, you know what? God, I'm doing it with everything that's in me. No, it don't look like it's changing, but God, I'm going to keep showing up anyway because I know my one day is coming. So I've been praying all week, Lord, Lord, if their cry don't reach you, please let mine reach you. Oh, Shana. Oh! Woo! I know some people are pastors just for show. I don't have that ability. When you hurt, I hurt. When you struggle, I struggle. When you're in bondage, it vexes me. When you're sick, it bothers me. So I am the pastor that goes before the Lord and say, Lord, but they've been faithful. Excuse me. Lord, they trying. I know they don't always get it right. We're your remnants. We're your broken pieces. And we're trying our best to do what we can. So we come in and we try to make a joyful noise unto you. And we try to lift our hands and we try to clean the church. And we try to serve you the best way we can. I know we don't always get it right. But I promise you, we're trying. Yay! So then, as I began to pray and I began to listen to the Lord, about it's time. It's time for some things to end. It's time for you all to come out. It's time for doors to be open. And it's time for some things to be shut. It's time. He kept saying, it's time. And like, Lord, because I'm praying and I'm believing and I'm standing on your promises. And so one of the things, when you've been in bondage for this long, one of the things I began to look up when it came down to trauma, it says you have certain responses. Fight, flight, freeze, flop, or friend. Flop and friend were some new ones for me. Because I know what fight is. I got that one down. I think half my church got the fight one day. don't try us. I know. We all go to jail together. Help us, Lord. So we got the fight part down. And some of us got the flight part. Some people just going to take out running and be like, y'all let me know how y'all make it out. So we got some of them that's going to run off and be like, let me know. Somebody phone me, text me, let me know how y'all worked out. You know, then you got some people that's going to freeze because they're startled. They just going to stand there and be like, oh, my God, this is happening. I don't know what to do. This is happening. And you like, run. Why are you standing? I mean, like, so when trauma comes, you got all kinds of responses. And then you have the one that's flop where you just go weak and you hit the ground. I was like, that's the thing, huh? With some people will just hit the ground when trauma comes their way. Or if they see it because their body goes weak, they can't help it. But the one I investigated was friend. I said, wait a minute, let's talk to me about the friend one with trauma come. It's when a traumatic time comes and you, in a sense, friend the person that is doing the trauma. So say a hostage situation and they're saying, come with me, and you're like, okay, we'll do whatever you say, whatever you want me to do. I'll do it. I won't put up no type of fight. I all of a sudden look like I'm your friend in the trauma. Well, my girl, J.E.L. She made him feel like she was his friend. She made it seem like she wasn't no threat. That he was all right coming in and laying down and going to sleep. She had watched the trauma that her people, her friends from a distance had went through. She watched it. She didn't really have anything to do with it. She was just a spectator. So she seen the trauma and she acted like she was his friend. She said, oh, it's all right. Come on in the room. it's okay. She's seen the trauma that was happening. She'd been watching the whole time. And instead of her running, flopping, freezing, she said, I'm your friend. Come here. Come and rest right here. Oh. So I watched as the enemy told her, he said, I want you to comfort me. This is what the enemy's saying. Comfort me. Give me something to drink. The enemy said to her, cover me. Wrap me up. Make sure I'm comfortable. The enemy said, protect me. Stand at the door. Let them know there ain't nobody in here. Protect me. This is the enemy. He says, and not only that, lie to him. Tell him I'm not even in here. I'm not even nowhere around. It reminds me of what he says to us. He was like, you've been in this trauma. Don't make no waves. Protect me. You don't want nobody to know that you've been in this traumatic situation. Comfort me. You know we've been friends for a long time. Why are you trying to mess up things now? Why are you trying to get healthy now? Oh, no, we've been friends for a long time. Protect me. If somebody comes and calls you out about a sin or something you got going on, act like it's not there. It's just between me and you, right? Don't nobody need to know your business. See, this is the way the relationship has been with this trauma bond that you've had with lie to them. Tell them you're healed. Tell them you're delivered. Tell them there's no need to come this way. We good in here. We've been in here for a long time. Why are you getting ready to mess with anxiety now? You know you've been anxious all your life. Just stay just like that. Now, depression, you ain't got no depression. Don't be acting like you depressed. I'm not in here. I'm not in here. I'm not in here. So he told her all the things to say. Now, the thing that I like about this, because I like putting stuff together, but that this reminds me of Genesis 3 and 15 when it said that, Terry, baby, put up Genesis 3 and 15. I know I said I didn't have no other scriptures. I got it now. There you go. Find Genesis. Y'all find Genesis 3 and 15. So let's connect these dots. And I promise I'm almost done. Anybody got it? Kelly, you got it? Will you read it for me?
I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel.
I was thinking about the crushing of the head. How he said that there was going to come a crushing. And so she came in and she crushed the head of the enemy. I was like, But then the other part that made me think about Miss J.E.L. is the fact that she reminds me of a type of Christ. Because this wasn't her fight. This wasn't her fight. Her people were at peace. And she stepped in the way. She stepped in the way and said, even though this ain't my fight, but I'm going to take out this enemy. Didn't Jesus was without sin, wasn't he? He didn't have not a bit of sin, but he stepped in the way. And he crushed our enemy. And the enemy thought that he was okay because, you know, on the third day, he thought, I got this. So he felt comfortable and at peace in that moment because he just knew that we're good. However, Miss J.E.L., stepped in the way like a type of Christ, and she crushed him. She crushed him. Because she watched the people be oppressed for a long time, and she stepped in the way. Come on, Justin, go on over here, because I promise y'all I'm almost done. She stepped in the way because it was time for them to come out. It was time for this thing to come to an end. And so instead of minding her own business, instead of saying, this ain't got nothing to do with me, instead of saying, that's y'all problem. Y'all did this before y'all got over here, so y'all gonna have to figure it out. Instead of saying, me and my people good. Ooh, I was getting ready to say I got my own and I stopped, y'all. You have to be around us to know there are some slogans that we have taken up that aren't quite right. However, they make us laugh anyway, so we continue to use them. She could have said that, but she didn't. Hello? Ain't nothing shady about it. Help, pray for us, y'all. We're going to get delivered one day. Not today, but one day we're going to be better. But instead, because sometimes we'll look at somebody else's stuff and be like, they don't have nothing to do with me. I don't have that problem. So that ain't none of my business. I don't have that problem. So I'm going to go on in my tent and watch all, be Miss Jenkins up in the window. You're going to look out and watch all the stuff going on and be like, did you know what was happening down the street? You know you got that neighbor. The ambulance was there for about 3 or 4 hours. I think they took Billy Bob away again. You know, he been having, but he ain't going to get involved. Ain't going to get involved. Because that ain't none of hers. But there come a time when you get tired of watching people suffer. Oh, my. You get tired of watching people go through. And you say, Lord, if you anoint me today, woosha. If you put the mantle on me today, I'm going to fight their enemies for them. Because today's the day that freedom needs to come to the house of remnant. So as I was listening to God in a... Somebody come move this. Okay, she gonna grab my stuff off here. There comes a time when it's just like, all right, Lord, I hear you. I hear you saying, it's time. They done cried out. I've heard their cry. And now, it's time for me to bring them out. And I said, God, I want that old-fashioned deliverance. I don't want that deliverance where you feel good while you're in here, and then when you go out, it's still the same. No, I want that old-fashioned deliverance that you come back in here and you say, now, let me tell you, I did this for this amount of years, and I walked out, and I never had a taste for it. I never had a desire for it. I never wanted it. I want that old-fashioned, that old time of, oh, my God, it was a miracle. That's what I've been asking for. I want that. I don't want that little dab of do you. I want the real deal that when you walk out of this place, anybody want it with me? When you walk out of this place, that it ain't just one of those temporary testimonies, but it's one of those things where, oh, no. This has been a generational curse in my family for many years, but guess what? It stopped here. Oh, that's what happened when it came down to JL. It had been a generational thing. They had been in it for years, and then all of a sudden, that one day, I want that deliverance, not just for myself, but for y'all. I've been praying all week. I've been like, Lord, bring them out. I need you. Not that I don't pray for y'all regularly, but this week the Lord turned it up on me. It shifted in my soul. It shifted. Ooh. It shifted. I was like, ooh, then look here, Lord. Now, you done put all this here on me, so I need you to come through. Because, see, it's not for me to come through. I need him to come through. Because if he don't deliver you, there's nothing that I can do. I need God to come through. I need him to work it out. I need him to destroy the yoke. I need him to make a way. I need him to do it. It's not for me to do it, so I don't have any power within myself. But I do know the all-powerful. I do know the God of eternity. I do know the God of the universe. And when he says it's time, everything has to obey. When he says it's time, everything has to line up in order. When he says it's time, and today, today, you know, we get all those things of this enemy you will see no more and all those things, and then you see that enemy again. But it's not for me to do it. I just had to have the right cry. I just had to have the right cry that said, God, today, oh God, today, will you allow it to be their day today? You're the only one that can bring them out. You're the only one that can heal. You're the only one that can deliver. You're the only one that can set free today. Today. Pass me my mantle thing back there. Come on, y'all, worship. Today, I plan on standing in between a few enemies. I plan on standing in between a few enemies. Because you tired of them. And I'm tired of them too. I'm tired of watching them. I'm tired of watching them do stuff to you. When I know your heart is, I want to be free.